Grace you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for this message is from Numbers chapter 24. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not resort to divination as at other times, but turned his face toward the wilderness. When Balaam looked out and saw Israel encamped tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came on him, and he spoke this message. The prophecy of Balaam, son of Beor, the prophecy of one whose eyes have seen clearly, the prophecy of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who has seen a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the heads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered, but Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. This is our text. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. And so goes the famous children's nursery rhyme. But in reality, we know what you are, little star, don't we? You are a flaming ball of fiery gases billions and trillions of miles away from planet Earth. Some of you stars are so far away that it takes thousands of years for your light to reach us here on Earth. Some of you are so big that if our sun were placed in your center, the Earth could still orbit around you and yet be within you. There are so many of you that counting at the rate of one star per second and counting only the stars in our one galaxy, the Milky Way, it would still take 3,000 years to count you all. The younger of you are so hot that you burn at a temperatures around 50,000 degrees Celsius. And so you see, while the stars may look like they're twinkling, they are not. They are burning with ferocious heat. And while they may look little, they most certainly are not. They are the largest and the most powerful objects in all of God's creation. And thus it is right that the prophet Balaam would call the coming Messiah a star. For like a star, he would be a formidable force that would destroy all of his enemies. Well, that's not usually the picture of Jesus that we have, is it? That certainly isn't the picture of Jesus that we have in association with Christmas. And that little Christ child laying in the manger. Everything that we teach and feel and focus on in connection with Christmas and the birth of the Christ child, it all has to do with peace on earth and goodwill toward men. This is a season of kindness and love, a time when people put their best foot forward seek to help others and to donate their time, their money, and their energy to worthy causes and such. We call it the most wonderful time of the year because of all the good cheer that everyone has, right? That's not really what the prophet Balaam was predicting when he foretold of the coming Messiah, and he called that coming Messiah a star who would come out of Jacob. See, he wasn't talking about some arrival of a gentle, peace-loving, can't we all just get along little baby. Balaam was announcing the arrival of a formidable force, a mighty warrior, one who would, in his own words, crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of the sons of Sheth. In other words, this Messiah was not coming on a mission of peace, but a mission of war. He was coming to do battle with his enemies and to defeat them once and for all. In fact, if you were able to ask the Israelites of Moses' day, or of David's day, or of Isaiah's day, to draw a picture of what you think the Messiah would look like when he comes, they would not have drawn a picture of the Jesus that we always have pictured in so many of our artists' renderings, or the picture of the Jesus that we have in so many of the Hollywood films. I'll tell you one thing. A picture they would have drawn would not have Jesus looking the least bit feminine. He would not have been a soft-spoken man. And he would not have had a halo of light around his head. He would have been dressed like a warrior king ready for battle, with a scepter in one hand and a sword in the other. And he would have had the fire of determination in his eyes. He would have been drawn with all of the combustible energy of a star contained in the body of a man. That's the Messiah that the people were expecting. And that's the Messiah who came in the person of Jesus. Make no mistake about it. Jesus was a warrior. He came to fight a war. Just not against the enemy that everybody thought that he came to fight against. See, Jesus didn't come to fight against people. He came to fight against sin, against death, and against the power of the devil. His was a spiritual battle, a battle that could only be won by his laying down his life for us on the cross and by his rising from the grave. He came to this earth in human flesh to oppose all the forces of evil so that you and I could be released from sin's hold on us and that we would be completely and eternally forgiven of our sins. He came to crush the head of Satan and to defeat that last enemy that we know as death, that we might live with him in the eternity of his heavenly kingdom. You see, Jesus knew what many people don't know. And that's that you can't defeat evil with diplomacy. You can't compromise with it. You can't pander to it. And you can't stand for it. You can and only must destroy it. And that's what Balaam predicted the Messiah would do when he called the coming Messiah a star. And that's what Jesus did, at least in part, through his suffering and death and his resurrection. He defeated sin and death and their hold on us. And when he comes back the second time, when he comes in glory, he will bind Satan once and for all. And he will cast him into that place of eternal suffering and fire, the place that Scripture says has been specially prepared for him and his angels. There's a lot of talk this time of year about stars. As you're going to hear about in just a few moments from our children, a whole program about a star. And you've been driving around or in your homes, there's stars on Christmas trees. There's stars over nativity sets. People put stars in their on the tree, ornaments shaped like stars. They bake cookies shaped like stars. And the reason that so many folks think of stars at Christmas time is, of course, because of the Star of Bethlehem that hung over the city, that guided the wise men to the place where Jesus was staying. But by far the most important star of Christmas was not that star that hung in the sky, but it was the star that lay in the hay that will one day hang, or did hang, on a cross. The most important star of Christmas is Jesus, who came to war against evil, that we might know the gifts of God's forgiveness and his everlasting life. He is the true star of Bethlehem. And he is the ever-present star in our lives. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.